KVOE AM 1400, 96.9 FM, live and local. And welcome to the monthly Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. And we're very pleased to be joined once again by Dr. Ali Wazir, a medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. Dr. Wazir, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, how are the holidays?
They were really good here, really good. How about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I hear you don't get a day off during the holidays.
Well, if it falls on a weekday, yeah, we're here, but we're here 7 days a week. So.
Oh, that's excellent.
Radio doesn't shut down, but yeah, it was a good holiday season. It's been cold, though, here, huh?
Yeah, same in Kansas City where I live. I don't know if this is normal. I haven't lived long enough over here, but, is this like something abnormal, this cold weather, negative 9, negative 10?
Well, we normally have a stint, during the winter that gets kind of that cold. That's a little extreme, though, so generally we'll get cold, have some snow, but that's a little more intense than we normally deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. With the wind chill, it gets pretty
dangerous.
Intolerable. Dangerous, absolutely.
Indeed out there. Well, Dr. Wazir joins us monthly from Central Care Cancer Center, and we talk all kinds of cancer topics. And this month, for January, it is bladder cancer is our topic. And Dr. Wazir, let's overview this. Bladder cancer, tell us exactly what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, so this is personally to me probably the cancer that I'm kind of quite interested in, because it's a very interesting cancer, and it's a very common cancer. Like in United States, every year about 82,000 people will get diagnosed, vast majority being men, so around 60,000 men and around 20,000 women, and we'll get to why that is. And it's a very deadly cancer too, unfortunately. With every year about 16,000 people dying from bladder cancer in America. Bladder cancer in America, when we're talking about it, we're talking about the cancer that arises off the covering of the bladder called the transitional cell, the inner covering of the bladder called the transitional cell cancers. But worldwide, actually, there are places where that's not the most common cancer. Like, for example, in Egypt, the most common bladder cancer is not a transitional cell cancer, it's a squamous cell cancer. And the reason is that, the different cancers that happen in different worlds have to do with different exposures, right? So in America, I know we'll get to it, the risk factors are different, but like in other places in the world, Southeast Asia, Egypt, bladder cancer is usually associated in younger people due to exposure to, schistosomiasis, which is a parasite that gets into the bladder. But in America, that's a rare kind of squamous cell cancer of the bladder. It's extremely rare. So most of them, vast majority, are transitional cell cancers of the bladder.
Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center. Bladder cancer is our topic this month on the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. Dr. Wazir, when we're talking about bladder cancer, are there common indicators to watch for or key symptoms to watch for?
Yeah, this is very important. So the bladder cancer usually can be detected early if everybody has the knowledge to know what to look out for. So the first thing is that, what kind of person is most likely to have bladder cancer? The person who's most likely to have a bladder cancer is usually an older, male or female, but males have it more common. And it's usually someone who's been a smoker or been around smokers for most of their life. That is the single most common risk factor for bladder cancer. There are certain industries where bladder cancer was noted to be higher, like a dyes, this also includes some of the older hair dyes. But like aniline dyes in the clothing industry and stuff, that is a specific exposure for bladder cancer. But by and far, smoking is the biggest one that we need to think about.
All right, bladder cancer is our topic. Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center, our guest as he is every month. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. This is the monthly Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. We're with Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center. located at 1401 West 12th Avenue in Emporia. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. For more information, you can certainly call 342-1117 or please log on to ccccancer.com for more information. Dr. Wazir is with us monthly here on KVOE. We're fortunate to have Dr. Wazir in, taking some time off a very busy schedule. Bladder cancer is our topic this month, and we were into exactly what bladder cancer is and entails, and now we want to touch on some prevention and early detection. Dr. Wazir, is this something that could be genetic as far as bladder cancer?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll get to the genetic part of the thing, which is important, but you know, as we talked about, you know, the people who are at high risk of it, you know, let's say you're 60, 70 years old, yeah. And, you know, you notice some pinkish urine, you know, like your urine, you know, when it comes out and when it's kind of collected in the bowl, usually white, you know, around against the white porcelain, if you feel there's a pinkish hue or a reddish hue or like black spots or, you know, small, thin, you know, things that almost look like little worms. You know, all of these things could be indication of little bleeding in the bladder.
Okay.
You know, if you have something like that, then, you know, you should talk to a primary care doctor who will do a urine test, and they'll spin your urine and look for red blood cells. Because that is by far one of the first indications of bladder cancer. You know, that's called microscopic hematuria, where the bleeding is not that much that it can be easily caught, right? But when you do a urine test, you can find out very quickly, right? You know, other things that can happen is like, you know, unusual kind of things, you know, like let's say, you know, you're a man and you start having bladder infections for a reason, like okay. Any changes in, you know, your urine habit, and especially if you have high risk factors that we talked about, the smoking. Now, the family history, there are three syndromes that typically we think about. One is called Lynch syndrome that also increases your risk of gastrointestinal cancer. It also can increase your risk of bladder cancer. There's another syndrome that runs in families. It's called Cowden syndrome. And, you know, it's associated with certain skin changes, skin lesions, you know, increased risk of bladder cancer, but also certain GI malignancies. So they are definitely families where bladder cancer can run due to genes they have inherited. But again, you know, the smoking is such a strong risk factor that that's the something you want to look out for. You have to remember when we say bladder cancer, we also mean the tubes that run into the bladder. So the tube that runs from your kidney all the way down to the bladder, that is considered a part of the bladder because they have the same kind of cells covering from it. So you can also have cancers of, you know, the ureter or even the kidney itself, like the part of the kidney which the urine empties into the bladder too, which we call the renal pelvis. If you get a cancer in that, that also is considered a form of bladder cancer.
Any screening measures? How do we catch this early? You mentioned there's some signs to look for. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some PCPs, I'm very happy to report, you know, they'll do like a urine analysis. And if that shows red blood cells in it, like that's a good screening test. Unfortunately, we don't really have data population-wide whether it's something worth doing to everybody. So it's kind of left to the, you know, your primary care doctor to kind of like make the judgment call whether you're someone who would be at high risk, you know, based on your family history, your smoking history, your chemical exposure history, whether that's, you know, doing a urine test to pick up like that microscopic bleeding is something that you would like to do.
So, yeah, basically that will determine then how often you should get screened then?
Again, you know, Ron, unfortunately, there's no, like, fixed criteria for screening. But, you know, typically, you know, like, what I've seen is that they'll do it once a year or once with as a part of their, you know, yearly physical examination. Because, you know, in the urine, there are other things you can also test for that can pick up other diseases.
Sure.
So this is one of those things that, like, if they see red blood cells or bleeding, like, you know, their alarm bells kind of go off and they'll send the patient to a urologist. Mm. Who's the first doctor who usually deals with bladder cancer.
So kind of take the lead from your primary care physician?
Oh, absolutely. Primary care physician, and then after that, the urologist. And we are fortunate that there's a pretty good, a couple of urologists in the area who come over here, you know, and run pretty busy practices. So we're fortunate that we have them here. So.
This is the monthly Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia, Central Care Cancer Center at 1401 West 12th Avenue here in Emporia. We're with Dr. Ali Wazir, and we're back with segment number 3 after this. KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. This is the monthly Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. We're with Dr. Ali Wazir, a Central Care Cancer Center medical oncologist and hematologist, giving us his time. And we're discussing bladder cancer here this month. And we've talked about the indicators, what to watch for, what bladder cancer actually is, and some prevention and early detection signs. And now we want to, Dr. Wazir, delve into treatments. So I guess depending on the severity and how early you catch it would determine what kind of treatment options we have. But let's start from the beginning. What do we look for?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So, like, let's say someone has the risk factors, their PCP does the test, and, you know, they find some blood in the urine, microscopic even. They usually will refer the patient to a urologist who will order, like, a CAT scan to look for any masses of the bladder or the lymph nodes around it. And they'll also do what's called a cystoscopy, which is putting a small tube into the bladder and looking inside the bladder for masses, right? Usually when it's caught in this stage, what they'll do is that they'll do a biopsy of the mass of the bladder. And then your pathologist kind of takes over, and he makes a very important determination because the line in the sand for bladder cancer is it's called muscle invasive, right? Whether your cancer is early stage, that means it's non-muscle invasive, or it's later stage where it's muscle invasive, right? So if it's early stage, then your bladder doesn't need to come out, right? Okay. And that is, you know, the majority of the time is treated by your urologist. And the way he does it is he goes inside, he kind of like scrapes the walls of the bladder, including the tumor, takes all of it out. And then he kind of, you know, he basically what he does is he instills inside the bladder treatments with different things, sometimes chemotherapy, such as a drug called gemcitabine. But probably the most effective one is still a drug called BCG. So you may have heard of the BCG vaccine, right? Which okay. is used in other countries to prevent TB. You know, the same exact vaccine in America is not used to protect against TB. In America, its primary role is to fight early bladder cancer, because this is the earliest form of immunotherapy that we came up with. Basically, what happens is that the BCG vaccine, when it sits in the bladder, it activates your immune system in the bladder. And that has been shown pretty conclusively that it can fight early bladder cancer and make sure it doesn't come back. You know, so that's, you know, that's what the urologist. So this field has become very exciting, because now there are certain, you know, they've come up with like certain coils that they can leave in the bladder that like slowly release, you know, chemotherapy that can be very effective. Some of them can release other immunotherapy drugs in the bladder. So this field is getting exciting, but so by and large, the treatment is still BCG for these early bladder cancers. So the urologist every 3 months or so has to kind of look inside, make sure that nothing is going on, then scrape it off. And then based on how things are looking, you know, they can do repeat cystoscopies, but also do treatment with BCG. If the BCG is not available or patient is resistant to it, then they can still use chemotherapy. So this is for early bladder cancer.
Early cancer, okay.
Now, let's say the pathologist goes in and figures out that, no, the cancer actually invaded past a certain line in the sand that we have drawn. That's called the musculus propria. So that's called muscle-invasive bladder cancer. So why the distinction? The problem is that after that muscle layer in the wall of the bladder, after that you have your blood vessels and your lymphatics, right? So if the cancer makes it through that layer, then you can kind of assume that the cancer is no longer in the bladder, because the bladder, in the end of the day, it's a pretty thin sac, right? So if the cancer has learned how to kind of break the wall of the bladder, it's probably already on the outside of the bladder. So at that point, the bladder needs to come out.
Okay.
Right? And in bladder cancer, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, studies have shown that the way it needs to happen is that you need to give chemotherapy first, and then after that, take the patient to surgery, ideally speaking. Right? And that's still the standard of care, where, you know, they get chemotherapy first. They're basically two different kind of regimens. Unfortunately, the regimens are a little on the rough side. They're, you know, kind of combination of different chemotherapy drugs. One is called MVAC. I won't go into the name, but you can imagine every letter stands for a separate chemotherapy, okay. Right? And then the other one is called GC, you know, gemcitabine, cisplatin. You know, carboplatin in some cases. So, you know, this These chemotherapies, the MVAC and the gemcitabine chemotherapy, these are kind of like the standard that are given for certain cycles. After that, the patient goes into surgery, the bladder is taken out, and then you end up with the situation of like what to do with the urine, how to make sure that the patient still is continent. And they have come up with different ways to do this. Sometimes they make what's called a neobladder. They make a sac out of intestine, usually small intestine that acts kind of like a bladder.
Okay.
Sometimes they have you may end up with a urostomy where there's like a hole in your stomach, on your abdominal wall that empties into a sac and then into a bag, and that is emptied a couple of times. Sometimes they're able to make that a continent ostomy, where patients can decide what time they can kind of go in and empty that sac which is on the inside. So that's all kind of in the urological realm. Like, it's their job to kind of like hook you back together again. There's some historical interesting things in this whole thing. Like, one question people would ask is that, okay, how about, you still have a GI system, you still have a rectum and a sigmoid. Why don't they just hook the kidneys straight into that, so you can just pee and poop at the same time, right? Unfortunately, they did try that. Like, anything you can think of has already been tried, And unfortunately, the urine itself, like, the strange thing is, the urine itself is cancer causing. It can actually cause chronic irritation, and they found that those people, they ended up having colon cancer, because the walls of the bladder weren't designed to kind of like deal with constant urine coming in. So the surgeries are very fascinating, but I think that's beyond the scope of what we're talking about today. Now the question is that, okay, now you have done the chemotherapy and you did the surgery, and the patient is on the other end of it. Like, now what to do, right? So till recently there was nothing we would do, right? But more recently there's some role of giving immunotherapy. For a fixed period of time, like 1 year. And the whole idea is to prevent bladder cancer from coming back. So that's the extent of treatment for people who have potentially curable bladder cancer that is muscle invasive. Some patients will come to us and they'll say, hey, doc, the surgeries sound very nifty, but we don't want to do the surgery. This is too much. We want our bladders. Is there something we can do to protect our bladders? So actually, at least for the last 15, 20 years, we've been using combination of chemotherapy and radiation in an effort to, clear the bladder out of cancer. And it does work. And there are different drugs that we use. There's a drug called mitomycin. There are other things that we can use where you can use the radiation and the chemotherapy together and avoid the surgery. But that's not for everyone. It's very, because the surgery has better data, I would say. So you have to be very selective about who gets what. And
how long would that treatment have to last? Is that pretty long term?
The radiation and the chemotherapy? Yeah, roughly speaking, we're talking about like 4 months of treatment, give or take. Between. So it's not terrible, but there's some side effects, of course. Releasing radiation, which is close to the rectum, for example, you can have some side effects from that as well. It's a kind of a mixed bag, and this area is kind of close to all the nerves that are involved in like urination and, the sexual response. And, you can have a whole number of side effects from both the surgery and the chemo radiation, whatever you choose, right? It's a little nuanced discussion that you have with patients. But in America, if you look at the practice, by and large, most people who can get the surgery will get the surgery.
So it sounds like maybe some progress is being made on the treatment front, but still, death rate's pretty high from bladder cancer.
Death rates are pretty high. I think the most exciting thing that has happened a couple of months ago, three, 4 months ago. So now the question was that, let's say, they figured out the bladder cancer, and they said that, it's not just in the bladder. Some of it went into, God forbid, the liver or the bone or into lymph nodes that are far away, right? So now it has become stage 4 bladder cancer, right? It's no longer curable. And the treatment for this, historically speaking, used to be, again, the same chemotherapies we talked about before, MVAC and GC. That was tried, and that usually would give you like a year and a half where the cancer would be gone away. And then the big thing that people were able to do after that was that you could give immunotherapy right afterwards, right? So the immunotherapy also made a difference. But and then after immunotherapy would stop working, you know, there was this drug called infortumab vedotin that came out 4 years ago. That made a difference. That could control the disease. So you at least had three lines of pretty good treatment, pretty good therapy. So what they were able to do is that they came up with a regimen that is chemo-free. And they compared that against chemotherapy, and they showed for the first time that it was better than chemotherapy.
Okay.
Right? So that is a big change in bladder cancer. And very recently, FDA approved it and everything. So, you know, some hope for the folks with stage 4 bladder cancer. But again, you know, when you kind of run through a couple of the treatments, regimens, and, you know, all of them stop working, then this is a pretty relentless disease, you know, at stage 4 cancer. And it's just as bad as any other stage 4 cancer, but probably on the worse end of things, because, you know, it gets the ability of, like, invading different parts of your body and spreading. And so, again, you know, that kind of accounts for that very high death rate that we still have in America from bladder cancer.
Quality cancer care is available right here in Emporia at Central Care Cancer Center. That is where you will find Dr. Ali Wazir, and all of our programs are in our audio vault. Dr. Wazir has been with us for over a year now, so we've got all kinds of great information and programs that you can check our files and listen to at your convenience. Bladder cancer has been the topic today. Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th. Find them online at cccancer.com or call 342-1117. Dr. Wazir, great job as always. Look forward to talking to you next month.
Thanks, Ram. Looking forward to it. We'll see you next month.
Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center, with the monthly Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia here on KVOE AM 1400, 96.9 FM, live and local.